Do you have an issues, etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your issues, etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues, Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
Some of your signs say, thank God. Thank God for dead soldiers. Do you see no moral difference between a fallen American serviceman and the Al-Qaeda terrorist he's fighting, who is slaughtering innocent people for jihad? Do you see any moral difference between the American soldier and the Al-Qaeda terrorist?
Yes, there is a difference. The American soldier is worse because he pretends that he's fighting for liberty and a Christian nation, and there is not a bigger lie on the face of this earth today. Those soldiers are fighting for same-sex marriage and all the lesser included sins.
God damn America, as long as she tries to act like she is God and she is supreme.
Well, the voices of Margie Phelps, attorney for Westboro Baptist Church, and the Reverend Jeremiah Wright, former pastor of President Barack Obama, these two people, at least in the popular mindset, probably stand on two opposite ends of the political and perhaps social spectrum. And yet, oddly enough, they seem to be saying the same thing. Could it be that radicalism goes so far right or left that it actually comes back around to meet itself? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, March the 23rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Terry Mattingly joins us here in the first half hour to talk about the First Amendment, Westboro Baptist Church. He says the headlines that you have read are true as far as they go, but there's not the entire story about the defense before the Supreme Court necessarily making it into the media coverage of Westboro Baptist Church. We'll see what's being left out with Terry Mattingly. A little bit later, we're going to talk Islam and creation. There is a Muslim cleric and a scholar who is, I think, also an engineer by trade. He teaches engineering, I believe. Well, he's decided that the Quran story of the creation is, well, a children's story and not to be believed by enlightened minds. He actually goes for evolution. And for this, he's been called an infidel and an apostate and actually been threatened with his life. We'll find out what Islam believes about creation and whether or not denying creation and believing evolution makes one an apostate in Islam and worthy of execution. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest of Illinois College in about a half hour here on Issues Etc. You can join us, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He's director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org, and he writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Good to be back, I think.
When we read the headline that says, Westboro Baptist Church protests soldier's funeral, is that entirely accurate, at least from the perspective of the members of Westboro Baptist Church?
Well, the reason I said I think just a second ago is that it's so hard to talk about Westboro Baptist in ways that you can actually get past the signs and the offense and the media posturing and actually try to get to any content. But the Supreme Court decision, which came down, gives us a chance to do that. And so I give that as a prologue to answering your question. In that Supreme Court case, we found out a lot about the legal thinking behind the work of the Phelps family. And, of course, the family is just packed with lawyers. You know, there's like somewhere between 9 and 13 people in the family and its in-laws who have studied law or are practicing law. It's a very interesting fact about them. And Margie Phelps, the daughter of Fred Phelps Sr., who argued the case at the Supreme Court, is legitimately a constitutional rights and First Amendment lawyer. As she put it, she'd better be if she's going to work with Westboro. So on one level, it is perfectly accurate to say they're protesting the funeral in the sense that they believe the people inside are guilty of the same things as the rest of America. The more accurate thing to say would be that they're protesting at the funeral. And from the point of view of the church, what they actually feel they're protesting is the kind of rallies of support for the Iraqi and Afghanistan war victims, the dead soldiers, that have sprung up in the post-9/11 world. They refer to these events as pep rallies for America, and they're deeply offended by them because they believe, primarily on the issue of homosexuality and a lot of other things, that America is profoundly wrong, and in their perspective, America is being punished. And so thus, I had a chance to hear all this because of Margie Phelps speaking last week at a journalism convention in New York. And because of her remarks there, I think I had a chance to see some insights into what she argued in the court and why they won. This is pretty complicated stuff, and I've just posted a piece at Get Religion to expand in some ways on some of the themes in my column for Scripps Howard this week, which will start hitting American newspapers in the next couple of days. From the Phelps perspective, they started intense picketing 20 years ago. And for 10 years, in her opinion, they told America, "You're sinning, please stop." And then America didn't listen to them. The funeral picketing begins when they watched the death toll rising in Iraq, and in their it's their theological conviction that this was a sign that God was judging America. And they said, if you wanted to make that point that God is not blessing America in its intervention in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I guess they would say Libya as well, if God is not blessing that, God must be cursing the nation for some reason. And if you wanted to make that point, where best to go than to the funerals, especially funerals that have been publicly announced? They say they've never crashed a funeral that was private. They have only attended funerals that were announced in newspapers and in other ways to the public. That's critical. Thus, they feel that they are not picketing the funeral. They're picketing the rally that surrounds the funeral. Do you see the distinction?
So, if I could put it in terms that my mind can easily understand, Margie Phelps essentially argued, and this argument prevailed with the Supreme Court on the basis of the First Amendment, that a point of view is being publicly presented around these soldiers' funerals, the pep rally, as she would call it.
Right.
And therefore, they have every right as citizens to present a different point of view in the same venue as publicly as the one they're protesting.
Right. In other words, they would argue that now, if you look at these, it looks like there's a funeral. Westboro Baptist shows up, and in response to Westboro Baptist, thousands of people show up to protest Westboro Baptist. That's what it looks like when you see it on the evening news. And in large part, that's true. They would argue, and this would be a very interesting subject for intense journalism coverage, they argue that the rally started before they started picketing, and that both at gravesides and in other settings, communities were holding, you know, memorial services, special memorial services for fallen soldiers. They were honoring them with public flower things. They were having civic events to honor the fallen, and that in effect these were patriotic rallies in support of a sinful nation. Now, what's really intriguing about this to me, and I thought about it long and hard before I decided to try to write, and I ended up leaving this angle out of my column, but I've just posted put a post up at Get Religion about it. This theological formula sounds very familiar to me. And the theological formula is essentially this. America commits the following sin from the viewpoint of the person doing the analysis. The sin may change, right? America commits the following sin. America refuses to repent of the sin, and thus, to coin a phrase from cable television and newspaper headlines, God damn America. Right? Isn't that essentially the theological argument of Phelps?
Well, let me pull you out a little bit then, Terry. Are you essentially saying, and I recognize that quote, God damn America, that was much placarded by the media, the words, if I'm not mistaken, of one Reverend Wright, who was made famous
Jeremiah
by
Wright.
One of his famous former parishioners, then Senator Barack Obama.
Correct. This is one of those cases where when you're dealing with people who are genuinely radical, and I say that word not so much in judgment, I say that, I mean, their viewpoints are genuinely out of the mainstream, genuinely radical. This could be one of those cases where you go so far to the right that you end up on the left.
Now, that is intriguing. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break, and we'll have Terry describe what he actually saw and heard in a recent debate between a First Amendment scholar and Margie Phelps in New York, going so far right that you end up on the left. You'd never think that there would be affinity between the two, but maybe there is a strange space on the bed. You know, they say these things make strange bedfellows. Maybe there's a strange space where the radical left and Westboro Baptist Church meet somehow in the middle. Terry Mattingly is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Do you have an Issues Etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your Issues Etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
How would you like to receive a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, and for any size gift during the Lenten season, we'll send you a CD with two sermons. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift, before Easter Sunday, we'll send you a CD of one of my Easter and Ascension sermons.
Others talk. We have something to say. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday, March the 23rd. Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Westboro Baptist Church and the First Amendment. Terry, before the break, you were talking about how in the world of radicalism, you can go so far right that you end up, ironically, on the left. Tell us, in those terms, describe what you saw and what you heard in a recent debate between a First Amendment scholar and Margie Phelps in New York.
So picture yourself in New York, and there's this standing room only crowd of young journalists who have come out to either protest Margie Phelps being a part of their convention, or to jeer her, to applaud her critics when they ask tough questions, etc. And yet what they ended up being presented with, besides her religious beliefs, which they felt free to mock and jeer and whatever, as many people would, they found themselves listening to a very intense and serious discussion of First Amendment rights between Margie Phelps and a serious constitutional and journalistic authority, the director of the First Amendment Center at the Freedom Forum. They had to take this seriously. After all, most newspapers, or all newspapers, backed Phelps at the Supreme Court, backed Westboro, for reasons that are intriguing in and of themselves. I mean, the only way the Snyder family found out the content of the Phelps rallies was through media coverage, which meant the way you would have prevented the family from knowing the content of the rally was to stop the media from covering it. Interesting dilemma there in terms of First Amendment freedoms for the press. So you know, not only do you have that going on, but Phelps starts just riffing on opposition to the U.S. military and to the Iraq War. Now, you got a room full of college students there. They didn't know whether to cheer, applaud, or what. I mean, she's judging the war from a different theological perspective, but she's still judging it. She's openly mocking the Pentagon. She's mocking military veterans. She's mocking. It was really intriguing. And I talked to a lot of young journalists afterwards. And as everybody said, they were both fascinated and appalled. They didn't know what to think. It was one of the most intriguing things I've ever sat down with a tape and tried to transcribe, in that all the way through it, I realized I was hearing radical, radical views and material. Yet at the same time, there was content here. And the actual content of the theology of Westboro and the content of their legal arguments is something I have not really read in the mainstream press that much. And the theology and the law gets really interwoven in some interesting ways.
So I am intrigued by, and I share that same kind of internal consternation over the appealing legal argument. It's compelling legal argument. And repulsion at the theology that's at work in Westboro Baptist Church. But where would you say, if we have now found bedfellows, so to speak, where's the common place under the covers where radical leftists and Westboro Baptist Church occupy the same space?
Well, I mean, first of all, in the American marketplace, in our public square, they are thoroughly united by a radical belief in the First Amendment. And like you just said, I find that, as someone who studied church-state separation, you know, and similar issues, I find that like a really spectacular train wreck. I mean, there are a lot of train wrecks in First Amendment studies. There are things like, do we have to let the Nazis march through a Chicago suburb that happens to have, like, the highest number of Holocaust survivors? I mean, do the neo-Nazis get to march in Skokie? Well, in the United States, they do. If they apply for a permit and they follow the same laws as everybody else, they're supposed to get to march. That's appalling. Yet you end up with the left and the radical right in that case, although I guess neo-Nazis are actually the even more radical left, you end up with agreement. I mean, you end up with Jewish lawyers defending the neo-Nazis, you know, from Jewish lawyers from the ACLU, as they should. So in the case of the Phelps, you have primarily very conservative people wanting to honor the dead, honor the fallen, wanting to support the Snyder family. Yet at the same time, we're in the middle of a period of time when people are calling for kind of constitutional literalism. And how do you stop the Phelps Klan from doing what they do without violating First Amendment? And so there's all kinds of tensions here. Let me mention one other thing before you get started with another angle on this. And there's so many angles. In my column, the language that I think most people will find disturbing, and it's the one that most, it's the single image that most ties Margie Phelps to a kind of radical leftist critique of our nation. At one point, she said, the important thing to know is what is a nation's idols, I-D-O-L-S, idols. She said, we knew we were going after three of the biggest idols in American life, the flag, the military, and the dead bodies of the soldiers. And we know idolatry when we see it. Does that sound, does anybody else hear the voices again? That sounds like the left. It's really, really interesting and frustrating and appalling and interesting again. I don't know what to say.
Well, finally, with only 30 seconds here, Terry.
Okay.
You listened to Margie Phelps. You heard her arguments. What do you think she would say if you were to ask her, do you see the affinity between yourself, your viewpoint, your calculus, and that of the radical left, even Jeremiah Wright?
I have no clue. I think she would simply say, if we have anything that unites us, is our belief that America is profoundly sinning and God's going to judge it. And then beyond that, I don't know where she'd go. I can honestly say that. But I think she would see the same theological argument and structure.
Terry Mattingly is director of the Washington Journalism Center at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. He's founder and editor of GetReligion.org, and he writes the weekly On Religion column for Scripps Howard News Service. Terry, thanks for being our guest this week.
You bet.